companions. We help you discover your many layers. You peel, you cry, you wake up with fresh eyes. Question life, question humanity, question society, but most of all, question yourself.
Welcome everyone to episode 3 of the Sustanauts special series. So Sustanauts brings together sustainable enterprises as well as artists to explore how sustainable solutions could be scaled through arts. And today we have with us Simin, who is the lead artist for the project Atomic Sounds.
Hi there, thanks Yi. I am Simin and I am a sound artist. I dabble in doing sound design and also writing music and in creating audio documentaries and podcasts.
Do you mind giving a little introduction of Sepure?
Yeah, of course. Okay, so the organization that I was paired with is Sepure. They are a chemical separation company. So these are two very big words that I got to learn along the way. And what this means is, first we need to understand that a lot of the products around us, they are made by, put together by chemicals. So for example, your toothpaste, detergent, your shampoo, they didn't come in liquid form randomly. So if you just look at the back of the product, the label would tell you what are the chemicals that are made out of. So in order to extract these chemicals, they might have to be separated from different molecules. So chemical separation is therefore something that's very important in our context because of the many, many products that we use. So what the company does is they found a way to dramatically reduce the global emissions that come with separation. The traditional way of separation is through heat, and that emits a lot of carbon emissions. So they found a way to do it at room temperature. So that is what Sepure's technology is all about. And if more people in the chemical separation industry can use their technology, which comes in a form of tubes, then the total global emissions would be reduced.
And how was this experience or process for you? Was there anything that was unexpected?
We had about 3 months to work with the company. And I think what was unexpected for me was the amount of science that was behind the company. Okay, I don't think I should have been surprised about it, but more like I didn't realize that there was so much gaps that I needed to fill up for myself as a consumer. So what I introduced earlier about how our everyday objects or products have chemicals, that was something that in my conversations with Hafiz, who is the vice president of Sepure, that was what I learned from him. And it opened my eyes to the things around me and how I was so oblivious to all of that, even though we learned chemistry in school. But I did, because we learned it in formulas and all that. So I think the association for me with my everyday became more apparent when in the 3 months that I worked with them. I had a series where I spoke with Hafiz and with different everyday products. So in this short 4 to 5 minute video, you would see me bringing an object. So could be shampoo bar. And then we also talked about omega-3 oils, about how they're extracted. So I started to have this series of like public sharings and learnings that, well, as I learned with Hafiz, everyone around me learns together as well.
So what do you see as the impact of this project and engagement?
That actually brings me to something else that was unexpected, or rather it was a challenge. I realized that it didn't really concern our consumers that much about how their products are being made. Because we are only concerned with, okay, where to get the cheapest, the fastest, and not really about the process of how things are made. So what I decided to do to bridge this curiosity, to even have some curiosity within the public itself, is that I talk about the everyday objects. So the impact of it is that together, whoever who watches the video, they will learn about the process of chemical separation with me. And they were free to also ask questions along the way as to what they might be interested about and what kind of other questions they have behind the chemicals in the labels.
I think what was difficult about this project, which I guess was also the point of this pilot to test things out, is that in hindsight now, I think if I were to do future projects, I would produce it with B2C companies more than B2B companies, because it's very difficult to find a link. I mean, Tiora somehow managed to find it because Wendy discovered that algae could be made into paint, and that was a potential product line for them. And they had these workshops which really inspired their staff as well to do the work that they're doing and doing the kind of public engagement. But every company is going to take that differently. And because this is a project that crosses sectors and we're working with businesses, at the end of it, their bottom line is always going to be about profits. And this... an additional point that came up in my conversations with Artswork, who is hosting our public engagement session sharing this coming Tuesday, is this idea of co-creation. And I think for a lot of businesses, probably this is something that is very foreign, because you know, you are used to paying for services in this kind of context. For this project, it was funded by National Arts Council Singapore. So the startups didn't actually pay for it, but they had to put in resources like their employees' time or whatever. And I guess in terms of like business terms, your opportunity cost, if I put my time doing this, it means that I'm taking out time that I could be doing, say, business development.
Something else, yeah.
And that for them is always going to be seen as more valuable. And the thing about startups is that because startups are at the sort of still initial phases, there are startups that would already have had, you know, millions of dollars in terms of funding, which actually is the case with Sepure. But then again, like, you know, a lot of times in the initial phases before it becomes mature, a lot of that money, if there was extra, it goes into reinvesting back into the company, be it like staff operational costs or R&D. And then it becomes difficult for such a project to find its place within like a B2B kind of startup, because it's a project that I think you probably experience it in this process. You engage with the general public because that's really where the arts come in. But then if it's not the kind of scale that is, you know, bringing together different ministries or like, you know, thousands of reach, then it doesn't really make sense for the startup, because ultimately their customer that they want to get to is the buyers. So for Sepure, it's the industrial leaders who need this separation, chemical separation technique for their industrial filtration processes. But the end user actually buying the soaps or the vegetable oil, it's very far off from this process. And it's difficult for them to make that reach of like, right, you know, if this energy is less, I mean, I think the more easily seen for consumer is that if my vegetable oil or my soap is going to cost a lot less, then I'm going to buy that product, which actually Sepure's energy cuts up to 90% of that energy that's required for the filtration. So technically that is quite a significant amount, but I mean, I'm not sure about where that price point difference is at.
Yeah, I think another point to add on would be that, like, as you said, the consumer is quite far off in this process. So then Sepure's target audience would also be the industry buyers, and their priority wouldn't be on the general public. So it could have also been one of the first times where they were trying to make all of this information accessible to the general public. And I think the forms, as we work together, it took on in a form of myself listening to the effervescence of, say, the vitamin C, and that was just a silent video with captions over while the effervescence you know, lasted about 2 minutes. And then I think that was something that was quite new for them. And also the conversations in having to talk about all of the science, I think in communicating in simple terms, that was also something that could have been a bit out of the everyday for them in their work.
What was useful for you in this project, and what have you learned?
I think other than learning about more about the world, about chemistry, I learned about the wonderful solutions that people have come up with in solving current issues. As somebody who is from the arts, seeing coming so close to the tangible solution And then also knowing, understanding what else the company needs to do in order to get to where they would like to see themselves. And then just in seeing how a startup runs and the kind of goals and ideals they have and how and what their understanding of certain things are. So like you mentioned, they could have been funded in the millions and then, you know, any extra cost would go back into operations. And so it made me think about where in the process is the best point for the artist to come in or to converge. And maybe that is also one indicator when it comes down to working with different startups. The knowledge that I've gained over the last couple of months, while it was a steep learning curve for me, I felt that I also got to talk to different people around me and also understood the jobs of chemical engineers. I think these were all just terms to me. But then because of this understanding, I started to realize, okay, we have these different factories in Singapore and this is what they are for. So it gives me an idea of what is also going on, what is happening around the world as well.
Could you have angled the project on that, like the role of a chemical engineer? Do you think that would have been a possible point of convergence of Sapure?
I think that could have been interesting. But then again, I will need to go on a discovery and understanding of, or maybe even like tag along or be like a resident and then just understanding that process. So I believe there would still need to be that learning of the science before I can process what is it that I really wanted to work on with the company. And perhaps in this case, for me, 3 months was quite short. It would have been more ideal if I understood the science before the whole project started. So perhaps it could have been like an intense, maybe 2 to 3 weeks or maybe up to a month of understanding and then figuring out what is it that I wanted to execute in the next 3 months.
Where do you think was the point of convergence in this project with Sapure?
I don't think at this point we have met at the convergence point, because after understanding the reach that Sapure is looking for, then I know I alone as an artist is not able to embark on such a big operation. So for example, like a activation in Orchard Road. So I think what I have done in the last couple of months would be to understand the science behind it, and then also coming up in my own ways for the public to understand why this chemical separation process is necessary. So not so much as to, you need to understand, the audience doesn't need to understand the whole science behind it, but at least why certain things are in place and why the work of Sapure is important.
So you did 2 social media videos that were interviews with Sapure staff about different objects in our daily life, items and the sort of process that's required in separating. Can you tell us more about this audio documentary?
Oh yeah, this audio documentary that is more of a combination of all that I have experienced and learned. So this audio documentary is a conversation between a soybean and an industry leader. So they meet at different points. They are not actually in the same space, but this soybean is from many, many years ago, and it has always hoped to see brighter skies, so less burning. And this industry leader is actually a second-gen leader who has just taken over the business and has also come up with the solution like Sapure. So I created a character that reflects the ideals and values of Sapure, who is in conversation with this soybean. So they eventually converge and meet at a point where this sort of soybean actually hopes for a future that is cleaner, and the character that I've created actually achieves that future. And they come together in a single conversation.
Throughout this project, what were the things that you think could have been done better?
I think that it would have been great if there was a first date between the artist and maybe 1 or 2 other organizations to see if they were a good fit. So that would be something that's before the 3 months, the start of the project. And the artist may go on first or second dates with an organization that is also interested in working with an artist for public engagement. And after they find out that they are a good fit, and that's when conversations can start to open up. And if it's a working relationship that they would like to pursue over 3 months, then I think that would have been a good start for both the artist and the company.
The actual time frame for this project in total was actually 7 months, starting from September, ending in March. Deliverables, I mean, public engagement and all that should have been done around December or January, and leaving like the rest for reporting, evaluation, and sort of like bringing all the learning together and sharing it with the public. I think this is a first of a kind and a pilot. It's a situation where it was really difficult to, there wasn't a luxury of time to, one, have so many meetings with startups, especially when there aren't any case studies to show the startup what is it that they're in for and what they can expect and what they would be able to get out of this project. And I think, two, it's the time frame of the funding was, it was too short. From like the proposal, getting the stakeholders involved, to having to put everything in and have a very detailed proposal. And the project delivery itself was for a period of 7 months, which I think we actually spent quite a lot of time, like good 3 months or so, just having conversations with the startups to try and find the midpoint of what could be done and the understanding of different perspectives. I would say if I were to do future SustainArts projects, it would need a much longer time frame, but also some of the other considerations is that if a startup were to be paying for the project itself, it's going to be very difficult to have a longer time frame because the budget is limited and they want to see results. And as such, one, there might not be a budget for project management. Two, the budget for the artist, it's really going to be packed on deliverables, which for a project like this is going to be quite tough. And as a sort of point that was mentioned before, I think for such projects, it's really important that people, partners, stakeholders come in with a co-creative, co-creation kind of mindset and mentality so that you work as equal partners. I think that works best for the project outcomes. But it's with any sort of co-creation, it's process and time intensive. And it really requires the kind of commitment and energy from all parties to be able to pull it through. And at the end of it, like, startups have their own business to run and they have work to be done. A lot of times they are busy. So that it's also like, how do you, as an experienced artist or project manager, manage that and still be able to find things to work on or do without the kind of consistent, continuous input from businesses, which I think is where such cross-sector projects are really difficult because there are so many different elements to it. It's not, I mean, I'm hesitant to kind of say that this is how the way the world works, because I think this world needs to change and the systems needs to change. But we see things from a very capitalist point of view, and from a business perspective, especially, it's always going to be, right, how much money or resources I'm putting in, I need to expect this amount of profit that's going to come out of it to justify. And if there is the kind of openness from businesses to move beyond the kind of way of thinking, which is very prominent in business world, and look more in terms of like the creative or art side of perspective, like, right, can this be a fun project that I want to work on that I believe is going to contribute to something that is interesting, or to be able to contribute something to the world, or to be able to engage more people in an interesting manner, which, I mean, even now as I'm saying this, I think it's something that might not be yet easily accepted in our society. Like, if you just tell a company, right, would you spend like 10K and 6 months to just do something interesting that we can all have fun about with, and that we can invite more like people from the public to enjoy this sort of process with us, how many people would actually put in the time and money for it, especially if you are bootstrapping in the company?
I have a thought. So I would suppose, like, in the first date, there will be some understanding of where what the artist does and also what the company does and what is interesting about the company for the artist. And maybe they could embark on a really small project, something that they are both agreeable to, just to try out this relationship. And then if it works out, then subsequently they can go on to do even more things with a greater engagement. So that could also be one form of going about this.
This was something that we had in the beginning where you shared your work and Muhammad shared about Sepure, and there were workshops planned to be able to share ideas and converge on motivation, objectives, purpose.
Mm. But at this point, you are pretty much tied to each other. So it was not a small project that you worked on together to see if it's a good fit. So I would think that it's like the first part of it is there, but then the working on something small together to see if it's a good fit could have been the video that I did with Hafiz. And maybe if that was something that was not aligned with what they were going for, then maybe that small project would have ended there.
How long did it take you to get to the point of the video?
It took me about a month. So after visiting them, after understanding more about them. So in early November, we did our first video in early November. So Hafiz took some time to also go through the scripts. We worked out a format for a short 5-minute engagement. And then we went through the questions and we also did a rehearsal. So in early November, we had that conversation. Yeah.
You are a business owner yourself. If you switched the roles, if you were Sepure, would you do a project like this? If it was, right, get to know this artist, do a little short experiment, and then if it works, you know, we continue working together. If it doesn't, then, you know, we stop there.
I think I would do it if I know what I want to do with the artist, how I want us to work together. And if it's I would come in with perhaps knowing who I'm trying to reach out to and what I might want to achieve. And then the artist brings in their expertise on knowing how it is to engage with people for an outcome that I'm looking for. So the small project would just be to test our working relationship. And then if it works out and we like working with each other, then of course it can lead to bigger things and with more people supporting from my team, depending on what the artist needs. So I think, yes, I would definitely start with something really small, especially if it's an artist I might want to work with.
So the prerequisites would be that one, the startup knows what they want, who they want to engage with, and already have knowledge of the arts to a certain extent and artists that they want to work with.
Maybe even before that, it would be that perhaps they want to reach out to a certain group in the general public. And then that's when they can identify if an artist is the right person for it. Maybe one last point about artists, because an artist has their own specialization and a medium, I think the company will also perhaps want to use that medium for communication. And in my case, it was audio. And so I guess visually, I would do things that are orally attractive. But if it was going to be visually heavy, then I think a visual artist would have been better suited for the project. Yeah, so I think medium also matters.
I think from my perspective as a producer, this project is really difficult because one, these sectors don't really cross paths. So you're talking about people who don't even really know what the arts is about. Like most people think of the arts as, right, painting, sculptures, very conventional things. And if you want to talk about sustainable enterprises and arts, then the first thing they think about is just graphic design, to talk about the impact of the work that they do or the science behind it, or to, you know, explain it through graphs. And that's kind of where the sort of most common understanding is at. So it's a lot to ask of startups or organizations, companies in the sustainable space to already understand the arts and know what they want or what is possible. With any sort of collaboration, it takes time to build up relationships and also working out like a good working relationship or style. Anyway, thank you. for recording this episode.
Hello, this is the last episode of Sustenuts, and I wanted to share some personal reflections as a producer of this project. This was an incredibly difficult project to pull off. There were many different stakeholders. Altogether, we had 4 different startups, organizations, and our funder is National Arts Council. We have 3 different artists. Everyone has different expectations, different goals, different objectives. And because there hadn't really been a project like this before, it wasn't a case where, you know, you could find case studies and try and figure something out. And show people as an example, like, right, this is what you should expect, this is what's going to happen. And as such, it was a steep learning curve throughout the project. My question now is also, these kinds of projects, especially in initial phases when you're experimenting, would always have little resources. Who bears the weight of that? You know, if there is value in cross-sector collaboration and cooperation, who starts it? Who pays for the cost of it? And who is willing to fund such experiments, which also in experiments come with it risks? We talk a lot in societies among governments about how there is a need for innovative solutions, interdisciplinary collaborations, and different ways of seeing things, doing things. Conventional ways of doing things will give us conventional results. We need new ways of innovating socially. But then, who is willing to pay for such experiments and innovations? And I see innovation as a learning in process. And with each project, each experience, you're better at doing the work, you're better at the kind of fostering of relationships, you know better what the different stakeholders want, and you create better frameworks for such projects to continue or exist in the future. But with the case of this entire pilot, I would say if it hadn't been for funding from National Arts Council, such a project would have been impossible to pull off. And in interdisciplinary cross-sector projects, the role of a facilitator, the role of a project manager is really important. And who is willing to fund for such roles? These are questions, bigger questions that I have for funders, potential funders, be it foundations or governments, to think about. Because eventually, we live in a time where we need lots of innovation and we need lots of solutions for climate problems, social problems. The IPCC report came out. We are going to have more and more natural disasters each year. There'll be more and more refugees each year. And as we see in the crisis in Ukraine, there might potentially be more and more wars. Who knows? But what's at the core of it is that we need more innovation. We need solutions at scale. We need a lot of different ways of doing things and different ways of shifting the system that we live in if we want to live in something that is sustainable, that can sustain humanity in generations to come. So this question is out there. If you see a value in doing this kind of work that is unusual, that is unconventional, that hasn't really been done before, the risk factor is also high. And often with lack of resources, it's never going to be a perfect run from the get-go in the beginning. And if we want this kind of innovation, if we want different ways of doing things, we need to properly fund it as well. And what does it mean to create a society of support such that innovators don't have to bear the full weight of such projects and to be properly supported through these kinds of capacity building programs? Now, this is a question that I'm ending this podcast with.
Hello, Onions Talk listeners. Thank you so much for listening. If you liked what you heard, it would really help if you can leave a review on iTunes or like us on Facebook. Otherwise, subscribe and share it with people whom you think will enjoy this. Special thanks to Andre for the music. Catch you next episode.
Hi. My name is Zimin, and I am a sound artist. I listen to anything from sounds made by underwater sea creatures to music. And what you're about to hear is my first encounter listening to chemistry. You see, in the last few months, I interacted with scientists at a chemical separation company that produces nanofilters. Very big terms, I know. It took me a couple of months to understand, but no worries, I'll break it down for you in just under 3 minutes. Our daily life is filled with products made from a combination of different chemicals. Think toothpaste, shampoo, detergent, even water. 2 scoops of hydrogen and 1 oxygen. Remember? We can't escape the fact that molecules join forces to work for us. But what have we done for them? We've done lots to them, but we've never really listened. And in my listening, I imagine a soybean and a chemical industrial human being together. If their lives welded together for a single moment.
Of the many things I can become, doesn't matter to me. What matters is how I become them. You see, in the effort to turn me into anything useful, I've used up too much of Earth's resources. For 5,000 years, no one has changed there. I sat and waited in the bean. That was where I learned my first lesson. If no one does anything to me, I return to Earth. The day I got thrown with more of those like me, I learned my second. Once I lose my form, there's no way to say what I'd become. When the shell cracks open, I could be in food or paints, plastic, cleaners, and biodiesel.
Soybean oil gets pressed out. People have been eating soybeans for a long time. And when we started innovating, we realized that we could do even more than before.
If they burnt me up, I became oil. They figured if I just got
disassembled into different properties through a simple chemical process of separation, we could sell this as vegetable oils to customers. We will set up factories and expand our productions into processed foods as well.
In the midst of my youth, the sky turned darker.
And what remains at the end of this process is a mushy residue, which we have used as animal feed, giving the needed protein to poultry, swine, and cattle.
For 5,000 years now, the surest way of seeing those bright skies again is not to halt this cycle, but to change from within.
So, I've been thinking about how we can produce at the rate we are going while reducing emissions. Because right now, our industry is responsible for 15% of the burns on the Earth. If I can change anything about our industry processes...
Right at the moments I get crushed, change in form, become oil? If I no longer need to burn at high temperatures...
But at room temperature? Does it change the world?
When I merely sit and wait,
flowing through tubes so tiny,
moving away from traditional heat.
That will give us a sky so clear again.
This audio piece is inspired by Simin's interactions with Sapure, a company producing nanofilters that enables chemical separation at a molecular level, without the traditional use of heat. The method, if adopted by the industry, can dramatically reduce energy consumption and pollution globally by up to 15%. But this is too complex for consumers to understand. So the artist created this conversation between the soybean and an industry leader to inspire us to have conversations with the products we use in our daily lives.